accountable. You should jump down my throat. I welcome that, and I'm ready for the challenge.
We now return to the KNBR Morning Show. Follow us on Twitter, at KNBR. Now, here's Murph and Mac.
We got a lot of questions, and Jed York, nice enough to come on the Murph and Mac Show on the Ring Central guest line. We actually have him on the ISDN line down in Santa Clara, so he's going to sound like he's right there with us. Jed, good morning, and thanks for coming on.
Hey, man, are you going to start with my question from Twitter?
Which was?
I tweeted you last night. Why did I agree to do this?
You know what, Jed? I got so many tweets last night that yours got lost in the shuffle. Jed, why did you agree to do this?
Because I love you guys.
Okay, there you go. See, it's all starting out milk and honey and sweetness and light. But I got to tell you, I'm going to ask you a lot of unpleasant questions because I don't like the move. I am a big opponent of this move. I think you guys will live to rue this move, and I think this could be a negative turning point in franchise history. So, my first question to you is, I was stunned by this stat that there's only been two other times in the history of the league that coaches who have 44 wins in 4 years have left a team for a reason other than retirement. George Seifert was fired by the 49ers. Mike Holmgren left Green Bay for Seattle. So how can you justify a move that is at odds with the history of the NFL?
It was mutual. This wasn't just the 49ers' decision.
Well, Jed, that's a huge issue for me because Jed York was asked Jim Harbaugh was asked on a number of occasions, what is going on with the story? Why is this happening? And Jim's specific words were, I work at the pleasure of the organization. So there is a huge dichotomy between him saying, I work at the pleasure of the organization, and you saying it was mutual, which is true.
I mean, Jim said it was mutual at the end of his tenure at the 49ers.
They didn't. In fact, his last press conference, he said, I work at the pleasure of the organization.
Did you not see the press release that Jim and I put out together?
Well, I did, but it was at odds with what he said at the podium. So I'm trying to figure out which was true.
I've had conversations with Jim. It was a mutual decision.
So you continue to say it was mutual. He says he wanted to work there as long as you guys would have him, and that just doesn't add up. 2 + 2 = 4.
I mean, you can ask Jim if you want. I mean, I sat down with him as we put together a press release. I don't know what else to tell you.
Okay. Well, I guess we're going to have to just leave this one hanging, that he said one thing, you said another, and we're just going to have to figure out who we believe. Chris Collinsworth said something in week one that I just couldn't let go of, and it's just been nagging at me all year, and that is, he said the 49ers have a winning situation going on right now. And we hear there's discord as early as week one. It is now the 49ers' job to keep this together, because winning is hard in the NFL. And it is your job, Jed, to manage the dysfunction, or to manage whatever the philosophical differences were, because winning is the only thing that matters, and you guys are winning. Why couldn't you manage it?
Winning isn't the only thing that matters. Winning with class is what matters.
Were you not winning with class?
I mean, are you not going to blast us for off-the-field stuff for the last 3 or 4 years?
Was that Jim Harbaugh's fault?
Collectively, it was all of our fault.
So why, when there are more heads rolling than other than Jim Harbaugh's, should Trent Baalke have been held accountable and maybe a mutual parting of ways with him?
I mean, I think Trent and I are philosophically aligned on what we want to do with this team.
So winning with class is a huge thing. You mentioned it yesterday. You mentioned it again today. Is this now maybe we're getting sort of closer to the smoking gun? This is a problem you had with the Harbaugh era?
No, I mean, this isn't on Jim. This is on the collective group of us. It's equally on me, Jim, and Trent.
So why was Jim the one to pay the price?
He wasn't the one to pay the price for that. This is just something that we need to concentrate on and focus on as we move forward.
Man, I'm having trouble coming to grips with... A listener sent me a quote from the Bill Walsh book, and I thought, wow, this is kind of stunning. Bill Walsh is to build a winning team. The bottom line in professional sports is winning. Everything has to focus on that product, winning football games. Other offshoots mean little compared with being successful on the playing field. That's exactly what Bill Walsh wrote, the guy you cited in yesterday's press conference. You guys were winning at a historic clip, and you've chosen to go the other way. How can you justify that?
I mean, you've asked me that like 17 times already. This was a mutual decision between Jim and I. I don't know what else to tell you. If you refuse to believe that, I can't help you. I don't know what else to say. This wasn't an easy decision for me. This wasn't an easy decision for Jim.
Okay, let's talk about the other things we can answer, and that is there was no question that there were leaks from the building, because I don't believe Jay Glazer, Trent Dilfer, Ian Rappaport, and Deion Sanders made things up out of their own head. Somewhere in your building, somebody planted stories. Who was planting them?
I have no idea.
Why didn't you address or take issue with the leaks to stop them, because it was showing to be counterproductive on the field?
I mean, I don't know that that's the reason why we were counterproductive on the field. I think you see a lot of distractions with buildings. You see a lot of distractions with teams. So I don't believe what people are reporting necessarily reflect what you do on the field.
Well, when you say winning with class, I don't think it's a classy organization would allow that kind of subterfuge or sabotage to go on. Don't you see that as at odds with winning with class?
I do. I mean, we talk about leaks all the time. I mean, it's just not something that we tolerate. I'm not going to sit down and, you know, you can go through people's emails, you can go through people's text messages. Like, that's not something that I'm going to sit down and do. I don't know where the leaks came from.
Was it?
I don't speak to Jay Glazer. I don't speak to Deion Sanders. I don't speak to those people. So I don't know where those leaks came from.
Was it important to you to cease them? Was it not like the first sort of red flag that went up? Was it important? Was it a priority for you to cease them, or was it not important and you just let it play out?
I mean, to me, I think it's important that we focus on the field.
Okay, and again, we get back to on the field where you guys had a historic number of wins and you chose to somehow find philosophical differences, which is the phrase you kept using yesterday. And now can we, in a one-on-one situation, can you please enunciate for all the you guys talk about the faithful all the time, and you want the faithful to pay their tickets and go to your stadium, and the faithful have asked me a million times, what were the philosophical differences?
Did you ask Jim what the philosophical differences were?
Jim said he worked at the pleasure of the organization. You've already somehow dismissed that, so I can't get anywhere with what you think about what Jim said. So I'm asking you, what were the
philosophical
differences? Jim and I
had those conversations.
What were they?
Those are personal conversations.
Well,
those are not things we're going to talk about.
So was it football philosophy or personal philosophy? I mean, like,
football philosophy.
It was football philosophy. So does it get back to, like, how the offense was performing? Is that what you're talking about?
I told you, I'm not going to go into specific details. This isn't personal. This isn't about, you know, do I like somebody's personality? Do I not like somebody's personality? Like I understand that there are high levels of tension when you get into sports. Like that's absolutely, you know, par for the course. That's what you deal with. I mean, what we're trying to figure out is how do we continue to improve? How do we continue to get better?
So you will continue going forward to refuse to enunciate the philosophical differences, leaving it behind closed doors. You do not want to address those specifically.
I mean, I realize that that's a lame answer. I realize that that's something that fans, you know, they want every single detail. I understand that you want every single detail. But I respect the conversation that I had with Jim behind closed doors. I respect the fact that there are many people involved about those discussions, and not just those people, but their families. And I am not going to throw those people under the bus. I'm not going to throw Jim under the bus. I respect him too much. I respect what he did for the San Francisco 49ers too much to appease the crowd today to talk about something that he and I said was going to stay behind closed doors.
Two things I think would dispute you not throwing Jim under the bus. The Thanksgiving night tweet was not something that I think was something you should have addressed with your coach before you sent out. I think Jim probably felt blindsided by that, and a lot of people saw that as throwing under the bus. And also, I think the constant leaks to Jay Glazer, Trent Dilfer, Deion Sanders, and Ian Rappaport is throwing Jim under the bus. Would you not counter that?
Listen, I didn't leak anything to those people.
Okay.
Period.
Somebody did.
I'm sure they did. I mean, that's fine. You can, you know, suppose and guess on who that is. There are a lot of people that are connected to this organization that aren't necessarily in this building. So, I mean, you can start getting into leaks and figuring out who you think it was and what you think happened. But I to me, I think that's counterproductive.
Did you throw Jim under the bus with that Thanksgiving night tweet? That was viewed as a serious power play in which you were definitely slapping the coach in the face who tried to win a game and didn't.
How is it a power play?
Because you didn't talk to the coach before you sent it out. It was almost like, I'm gonna throw red meat to the masses while a coach is in there licking his wounds after a bad loss.
I explained the tweet yesterday when Lowell Cohen asked, and he said his readership, you know, that was their number one question to him. And I explained it. We had 70,000 people change their Thanksgiving plans to come here, and we played well below our level.
Do you think it would be more appropriate to send it out after you talk to the coach and say, hey, Jim, that was unacceptable, and I'm going to tell the people that it was unacceptable? I mean, you guys are in a professional business of high money, high stakes, big ego, and a lot of respect, and that came across as disrespectful. I guess you're right. You did answer it yesterday. We should move on.
That's fine. I mean, I can understand where you think it came across as disrespectful. That's fine. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's my responsibility to give our fans a product that I think is fulfilling of the San Francisco 49ers. And that night was not an acceptable performance.
No question, but I think, well, circling back, I think the last 4 years have been a very acceptable product that you guys have now chosen willingly to dismiss, and that gets back to...
We have not chosen willingly to dismiss.
Yeah, you have.
No, we haven't. We sat down together. We had philosophical differences. Jim has signed a contract today to be the head coach of the University of Michigan, a place that's been in his heart for a long time. He had a very difficult decision 4 years ago deciding between the 49ers and the University of Michigan.
Jim said he worked at the pleasure of the organization, and people close to him have said he wanted to stay with the 49ers. And that is just the hanging issue in the air that I think fans, until you guys make a hire that goes and wins a Super Bowl, is going to hang over this team for a long time. It's very, very frustrating.
We have not won a Super Bowl yet, have we?
No, you haven't. And so that means you've had 5 successful seasons and 63 busts in the history of the franchise. That's another thing I wanted to ask you about is, do you regret that comment yesterday about a Super Bowl is the only acceptable alternative? That seemed wildly unrealistic and certainly creating a very difficult situation for your next coach to step into.
If a coach doesn't understand that our standard is winning the Super Bowl, he's not the right coach for the 49ers.
Well, doesn't you understand that everybody wants to win the Super Bowl, but it doesn't happen every year? And are you not creating a sort of a wildly unrealistic and almost silly standard there?
Oh, okay, our standard will be, hey, let's just have a 7 or 8 win season next year.
No, you know, standard is to be the best team you can be and see what happens.
Let's win 9 games next year because we only won 8 this year.
Okay, so you're going to stand by so that whoever your next coach is knows that a guy who went to 3 straight NFC championships and never had a losing season was not good enough. That's your next coach has to understand that, right?
Listen, if we can replace Bill Walsh, who won 3 Super Bowls, and we can replace other people that haven't won Super Bowls, I feel like we will continue to find people that understand the importance of being the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers and understand the standard that was set by Bill.
Couple of last questions, Jed, and I appreciate you sitting here and taking these questions. Jed York here on the Murph and Max Show on the Ring Central guest line is the big, big one is you kept saying over and over again, hold me accountable, hold me accountable, hold me accountable. And a lot of people asked me, and they were right, how can we hold you accountable? Does that mean you refund PSLs? Does that mean you give away beer for free? Does that mean you resign? Does that mean, how can we can't hold you accountable? What does that mean? Does that just mean verbal tongue lashings on the air? How can we hold you accountable in any meaningful way?
I mean, you're trying to give me a verbal tongue lashing now. And I mean, I'm not sure what else to tell you on how to hold me accountable.
Well, you said you want to be held accountable. So, I mean, we're wondering how can people were actually saying, a lot of people on my seat said, I'm a season ticket holder. I want to know how can I hold him accountable?
I mean, I'd love to hear from fans. I'd love to hear from them. If you have suggestions for me, if you have thoughts about what we can do better, and if you think we're not performing to a level, you can let me know. And you can decide the best form that you can communicate with that with me.
Okay. Last two couple questions for you here, Jed, is that a lot of people, including me, and I've thought this a lot, you guys are missing a John McVay, a Carmen policy. I understand Parag Marathe is a very bright guy. I know him, and you guys got the stadium built. I understand Trent Baalke is a great football man. there needs to be a wise, in my opinion, there needs to be a wiser and elder voice in there, not unlike what the Warriors did in bringing in Jerry West. John McVay was that man. Carmen Policy was that man. Would you consider adding another voice that has a lot of league experience so that situations that just happened, a very successful and winning coach was not able to be managed in a proper way, a situation wasn't able to be managed in a proper way, would you add an elder statesman who can manage these situations in the future?
We'll do anything to help this team get better and to win.
So does that mean you'll do that?
We'll do anything to help this team to get better and to win.
I would recommend it. It's just for me, one guy who's sit here and I covered the team for years as a beat guy, and it helps to have cooler heads because I circle back to kind of my original statement, which is I felt it was your job as the elder statesman there, you were the guy to manage the dysfunction between Trent and Jim.
And I mean, that's again, did Jim say that there was dysfunction between he and Trent?
Well, no, I only learned that from all the leaks that came from the building.
But did Jim say that?
No, Jim said he worked at the pleasure of the organization.
Right, but at the end, his final press conference, what did Jim say about his relationship with Trent?
Well, I don't remember the exact specific quote, but I could tell you that he wanted to stay. From my understanding, he wanted to stay, and you're saying
then,
he didn't.
Then I would assume if he wanted to stay, that he had a pretty decent relationship with Trent. Is that correct?
Yeah, but apparently the situation was managed to the point where he's no longer the coach, so it was not managed properly, so... I think that's what we're left with, and I think that's what we started the season this way, and we end the season this way. And listen, like Jed, I said it before, you guys have a chance. I mean, the ball, to me, the analogy is the ball's on your own one. You guys are going to have to drive 99 yards now. You can score a touchdown. You can hire a guy who will fix this team, but you guys have put yourself in a difficult situation because you had a winning coach, and you've now dismissed it. I would add, and it's not encouraging to me, that this is the second time in the York ownership that you guys have dismissed a popular and winning coach for no apparent good reason. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. And you know what? Nothing that I say is going to appease you. The only thing that's going to appease you is doing exactly what you just said, bringing the right person in here and getting the team back to a Super Bowl winning caliber. Period.
Well, that's it. We've covered the ground, and I appreciate you putting up with, you know, a vaguely hostile line of questioning, and we will see what you guys do next, Jed. So thanks for coming on the air.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
There he is, Jed York on KNBR. You guys want to react? Let's do it next.